is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 1st of November. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm excited. I'm in a good mood.
Oh, okay.
I am. I've got ribs. I got my choice. I got ribs or leftover chili waiting for me after the show.
Okay.
It could go either way. I haven't decided yet, but what I'm really excited about is what's going on right now, even as you and I speak, in Israel.
Oh, very excited about that, because, folks, it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu's going to be prime minister again. And the only reason we say looks like is the Arab Balad party could ruin everything if they reach a certain number. But how I feel about it, they should not be allowed to determine Israel's government.
Well, what's
no Arab should.
No, I agree with that. Look, what's happening over there right now is an election. And you would think they'd have this down to a science, because this is their fifth election in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But what, you know, all the exit polls right now are showing that Benjamin Netanyahu has the lead and is poised to become, once again, Israel's prime minister. Now, to do that, he needs 61 seats in the Knesset. And right now, the polls are saying, and these are exit polls, these aren't final numbers, so keep that in mind. But the exit polls are showing that he's got either 61 or 62 right now.
More and more of them are swinging to the 62.
Now, we've been keeping an eye on this late this afternoon after the polls closed, and they're saying there's an outside possibility that we might get a final, not really a tally, but no for sure by sometime tonight. Of course, it's the middle of the night over there now, but they're saying it's more likely we won't know anything for sure until tomorrow, and it could stretch. If this other party gets, what is it, 3.2 or 3.5% threshold?
Yeah, it's something like that. But the thing is, if Netanyahu does get the 62, if what they're predicting that he has 62 holds true, it won't matter, because all they would get is one more vote, and that would. He would still be prime minister, but his government wouldn't be formed, however strange way they do it. But if he does hold the 62 and loses the one, he still has the 61, and he still can form the government.
Right. The Knesset is made up of 120 seats, and to be in control, you have to have 61. You have to have a majority. And what we're looking at right now are simply exit polls. The exit polls over there have been wrong in the past. But right now it's looking pretty strong for Benjamin Netanyahu. The final tally of actual votes counted probably won't come until Friday of this week.
I'm just
telling you what they're saying from the election in Israel. And, you know, they say we may have, there's an outside chance we'd have a good, pretty good idea of what it's going to be by later tonight. There's a better chance that we have that, you know, firm grip on it tomorrow. But for sure, we will know by Friday. So by the time you and I go on the air Friday night, we should know point blank that Benjamin Netanyahu is the new prime minister of Israel.
Personally, I think it's going to be way before that, because the Likud party, which is Netanyahu's party, is cautiously now celebrating Netanyahu's win. So it's, their system is very strange, guys. There's so many parties, and each thing is broken up into different sections, and this one controls that one controls something else. It's not like our system at all.
Yeah, our system runs like a well-oiled machine, doesn't it?
Yeah, like ours runs, yeah. Theirs doesn't either. But for me, the big problem is no Arab party should have a say. They can be part of the ruling, whatever, but they should not have a say in the election. I'm sorry.
No,
that's just my opinion.
I tend to agree with you on that. It's a very interesting situation over there, making it even more interesting. Iran is now threatening Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people say, well, that's because Iran wants to take attention away from the internal protests that are going on in Tehran. I think it's also that they're trying to send a message to Israel, don't elect Benjamin Netanyahu. And if Iran doesn't want Benjamin Netanyahu, then Israel should certainly elect Benjamin Netanyahu.
Well, part of this is also a UN vote was taken today. Only 5 members abstained. Thankfully, Canada and the United States were 2 of those 5 members. The UN body voted that Israel should basically give up their nuclear weapons, that they should allow UN observers to see what they have or don't have. But what people forget is Israel has never outwardly said they possess nukes. Now, we know they do, but they have never admitted it. And you know what? Screw the UN.
Well, yeah. I mean, Israel's not going to give up their nukes. They could lighten their load a little bit if they let loose on Iran.
But yes.
They're not going to give them up. You know?
They will never give them up. Israel will never, ever surrender to these, you know, people that are out to destroy her. The UN hates Israel. They hate them. They side with Iran on just about everything.
Well, the United Nations of thugs, thieves, and despots.
Useless nations.
I mean, does that surprise you in any way, really?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, nor are they ever going to allow their inspectors in to see their things, which they have not even admitted to having.
Right.
And what this all came about is because they will not sign the non-proliferation treaty. And at this point, what does that treaty matter? We have thousands of nukes. Russia has thousands of nukes. China has thousands of nukes. North Korea has a few that probably wouldn't even work right. Israel's will work right. What's this whole thing with proliferation? They have more than enough. Every one of those countries has more than enough to end everything. Who cares about their treaties?
You know, I don't care about their treaties. The problem is, once Iran is comfortable enough with what they've got, nuclear weapon-wise, they'd be the ones to use them right off.
Right.
You know, exactly. That's the problem. And this treaty doesn't prevent them from using them. This treaty is meant to dissuade them, not prevent them. And Iran will not be dissuaded.
Well, the whole thing is, Iran has signed that treaty in the meantime, they're working their damnedest to get as many nuclear weapons as they can.
Exactly.
So it's a useless treaty, folks.
It is. Later tonight, in about 20 minutes, Diane, you're going to be talking about October's booster and anything but a surprise. This is your, 323rd foray into the COVID-19 op-eds?
It's actually my 31st, where, and in every one, I've tried to explain the medical reasons why these boosters, these shots, really were not needed. What we needed was an antidote. But now that the COVID has again mutated into another form in the B strain, there's some very critical things you need to know, folks, because that booster has overloaded people's immune systems, and that's why the vaccine boosted keep getting sick.
Well, learn all about it here in about 19-20 minutes from right now. At the top of the hour, I will be talking about a couple of very serious topics tonight, and I'm going to do my damnedest to be as serious about them as possible. San Fran super poopers and drag queens in Ecuador.
Yeah, money, in other words, folks, money down the drain.
And a snark attack on the way.
Yes.
All right, so last Friday, in the morning, early in the morning, we found out that Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, had been attacked in their home in San Francisco. And, right away, all sorts of stuff started flying about on social media. Unfortunately, a lot of it was coming from people on our side of the aisle. And, I was like, come on, people. You know, just wait until evidence comes out and we learn more from the San Francisco Police Department and all that. Now, on the other hand, Diane was like, well, things aren't adding up here. This isn't right. There's something wrong here. This and that. And I'm like, come on, Diane, just take a chill pill and let's wait this out. Give it a few days. We'll learn more. We'll find out what's really going on. Well, turns out Diane was pretty much right. It's not adding up because it's now been 5 days and we've now got more questions than I think we'll ever have answers.
I don't think we're ever going to get to the truth of this because they are hiding certain information. Now, when you have to call in the feds to run the investigation and tell the San Francisco police you're not doing it, we're doing it, right away your radar should go up. They did it under the pretext that when he said, where's Pelosi, that was akin to a kidnapping charge. That's what they're going in as, saying this is a federal kidnapping charge. But how can this be a kidnapping charge when no one was kidnapped? No one was threatened to be kidnapped, yet it's a kidnapped charge. Where were the feds, seriously, when Rand Paul got attacked, when Scalise got attacked, when Judge Kavanaugh was threatened? They were nowhere to be found. And all the Democrats were they should have got them, and who cares if they got hurt, this, that, and the other thing. But now, because it's Nancy Pelosi's husband, the world has to come to a stop. Yes, it's a bad thing that happened to him. You know, absolutely. I mean, the man was hurt. But the circumstances surrounding it, I said from the very beginning, a feeling, this isn't what it appears to be. And it turns out I'm right.
You know, when you look at what we know and you look at what we don't know, there's a lot of conflicting reports. Now, I wrote an article today. I put it up in thenationalpatriot.com. And folks, you can go there if you want to read it. I'm not going to go through the entire article on this show tonight. But here's some of the questions we have. Who brought the hammer to the party? Okay, some sources are saying it was David DePape. Some sources are saying it was Pelosi's hammer. Nobody really knows. Right. You know, there's a lot of other questions. You mentioned bringing in the feds. There are reports out there that the Capitol Police are now handling the investigation. I don't know if those reports are true. I can't get them confirmed. Nobody seems to know who's in charge out there. But if the Capitol Police are involved, if they are in charge of this thing, that worries me because they answer only to Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
You know, and what better way to cover something up if you want it covered up than to have the people in charge of the investigation not accountable to the public?
Exactly.
You know, so you got to wonder about things like that. Photos show glass on the outside of the house, broken glass on the outside of the house, on the bricks outside. But we're told that the guy broke into the house. So shouldn't the glass be on the inside, not on the outside? We don't know. Here's something else we don't know. Who the hell opened the door? Initial reports said the police gained entry into the house, and that's when they saw Pelosi and this other guy fighting over a single hammer. Well, then we got a report that said somebody from inside the house opened the door when the police knocked on the door. So which
it's also suspected that they knew that Paul Pelosi knew this guy because he called him by name, as per certain reports.
When he was on the phone, apparently, with 911, and he referred to him as David. Now, we know that happened, that actually happened, because we've heard the 911 tape where the 911 dispatcher is talking to the police en route to the scene. And they say the man said there's a man named David in the house. Okay, right. So we know that happened. But then again, Paul Pelosi told the police he'd never seen this guy in his life. So how did he know his name?
Somebody is lying. Let's put it that way.
You think?
Yes, he was attacked. Nobody's saying he wasn't attacked. But the actual events leading up to the attack, we're not getting the truth.
No, and we're not getting the truth about who this David DePappy is.
Right.
Okay. The liberal media, they're spinning like crazy. They're trying to make this guy out to be some right-wing extremist tied to January 6th in some way. They say he was on Facebook, and he had up a bunch of posts from Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, and his videos. They say he was railing on COVID and the COVID vaccines and all of that. And we don't know that for sure because Facebook took down this guy's account even before the guy's name went public. So my question is, if DePappy is putting up those posts, if he's putting up Mike Lindell videos and posts highly critical to the point of conspiracy theorists, that's in quotes, that's in your air quotes, that's because that's what the liberals say it was, about COVID-19 and the vaccines, how is it that the entire world got to see that when every other conservative on the planet was trying to put that stuff up and was being booted off of Facebook or Twitter or having their posts taken down? How is it that David DePappy's post stayed up?
Because Nancy Pelosi stuck her nose. I guess I would bet, I'm not saying this as fact, but I have a feeling Nancy Pelosi knows this guy.
I don't know if Nancy Pelosi knows him. I don't know if Paul Pelosi knows this guy. I don't know if any of them know him. But the guy lived in Berkeley, California. Berkeley is not a haven of conservatism.
No, it's like uber liberal central.
You stand as much chance of finding a conservative living in Berkeley as you would find MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters on the streets of South Chicago at 2:30 in the morning when you're on your way to a Subway sandwich shop.
Exactly.
The guy reportedly, by some reports, lived in a bus, an old school bus that was painted white with a brush, by the way, and had a gay pride flag on the front of it and a BLM flag on the back of it. That doesn't sound like a conservative to me.
No, it doesn't sound like a Republican either.
No, and now his former girlfriend, live-in partner, wife, whatever you want to call her, shack up, who is actually in prison right now because she was a...
I think it's tax evasion, isn't it?
Tax evasion, and she was a nudist activist that got arrested for causing trouble. I don't know. But she says, from prison, she says he's deeply disturbed that he disappeared for almost a year and came back claiming to be Jesus. She said that he always kind of leaned to the left, although he was never politically involved, really. But he tended to lean to the left, as people in Berkeley tend to do. But the liberal media said, oh no, this guy is as far right wing as you can get. He's tied to January 6th. He's you know, this and that. Well, I don't see it. But you know what I do see? I think the guy is an anarchist. He's a no rules, everybody gets to do whatever the hell they want to do kind of guy.
In other words, he's a liberal loon. I can do whatever I want, but you can't.
Right. And let's remember, anarchists, that's kind of your Antifa people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the liberals highly supported Antifa. They supported the anarchy that was going on in the country all through 2020 and the summer of love riots, you know, and all of that. But come January 6, 2021, all of a sudden the liberals became authoritarians and they started employing Marxist tactics and cracking down on people, taking away people's right to do whatever the hell they want, which is what anarchists want to have happen. They view society as a free-for-all.
Yes, and that includes the anarchists here in this country, guys.
Right. Now, could that be what pushed this guy over the edge and made him go off last Friday? Who knows? Because we're not really getting any solid, substantial, or verifiable information.
No, we're not. And I don't think we're ever going to get true information. I really don't. I think it's all going to be covered up, like anything and everything that pertains to a Democrat. They cover up Hillary, they cover up Obama, they cover up Biden. They make excuses for this one, that one, the other thing. They twist the facts to fit their narrative while protecting their person. That's just how the Democrats operate. And it's not going to be any different with this. But what people have to remember, a couple of months ago, Paul Pelosi was arrested on drunk driving charges. Does that play into anything here with who he's associated with or, you know, whatever? I don't know. But you have to understand you're not dealing with the most, let's say, cleanest of people in the sense he's got a DUI. You know where his politics lie. You just don't know anything about this case.
You know, we
really don't.
Over the past 2 months, Paul Pelosi has been at the scene of two crimes, and both times he's been hammered.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't say unless we know the truth. And I think the only way we're going to know the truth, sadly, might even be from David DePape.
Well, and there's another thing. Have we heard from David DePape's attorneys? Have we heard anything?
Mm-mm.
No. David DePape made an appearance in court today. We have heard nothing from any attorney representing him. Nothing whatsoever. Now, I guarantee you, I can all but guarantee you, let's put it that way, 99%, I can almost guarantee that there will be no trial. David DePape will cop a plea deal. There will be no trial. Nobody will be put under oath, and he will be sentenced to whatever.
I 100% agree. The last thing they want is this man on the stand.
They don't want anybody on the stand. They don't want that guy on the stand. They don't want Paul Pelosi on the stand. You know, because if they go under oath and they get caught lying, they're going to be in big, big, big trouble.
Well, one thing I think you forgot to mention, some news sources are actually saying there was someone else present in that house.
Frank. Some guy named Frank.
Whoever Frank is. We need to know who Frank is. What is his relationship either with David DePape or with Paul Pelosi? Or was he a security guard not doing his job? We don't know.
Well, I mean, first of all, is there really a Frank? That's question one. Question two, was Frank, if there is one, really in the house at 2 o'clock in the morning? Question three, if Frank was there, why was he there at 2 o'clock in the morning? Okay, did Frank open the door from the inside when the police knocked, or did the police gain entry some other way? These are all questions that we're getting conflicting reports on.
Yeah, especially if anyone saw the Five yesterday and Marie Harpy or whatever her name is was on there trying to tell the cut and paste version of what happened. But she was beyond angry. She was spewing out all these conspiracy theories, blaming it all on Republicans, on conservatives. But she was doing it with such hatred. Her face turned red, and Greg Gutfeld had to tell her to calm down or she was going to have a stroke. Now, when Democrats go to that extreme, where they're so worked up that they have to be told, calm down here, is there credence to some of the stuff she was trying to get out but deny, realizing, I'm feeding into this. That's what she was really doing.
It really does make you wonder. That's a great point. By the way, her name is Marie Harf. It's easy to remember. Harf rhymes with barf.
I think of it as harpy because she doesn't shut up.
Well, that's true, too. Anyway, from what we know, what we don't know, the questions we have, the questions that are being unanswered, the lack of transparency, I put out an article in thenationalpatriot.com today, this morning. You can go there and read it. I'm sure we're going to get more conflicting reports as time goes on. We'll keep an eye, obviously, on the story. Any updates, anything we learn or don't learn, or more questions that we have, we'll bring up on Friday's show.
Yes. And if we do get anything out of Israel, we will report that tonight. But like Craig said, it might be a couple of days. But something tells me, because this election is so, so important, we are going to know, if not tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's a much better chance that we'll know tomorrow. The longest it should take is Friday. So One way or another, we'll have an update for you on that come Friday on this show, Right Side Patriots, beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on RSPRadio1.com. All right, about a half an hour from now, I'm going to be very seriously talking about San Fran super poopers and drag queens in Ecuador. But before that, Diane is going to take one more look for now, until the next one, at the whole COVID-19 booster situation, October's booster, and anything but a surprise. That comes up in mere minutes. But right now, we've gotten to the bottom of the hour, which means we need that bottom of the hour break, a couple of station IDs, and then we'll be back with more on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night. If you miss any part of the show, you can always go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and this show and all the rest will be there waiting for you.
Yes, it will.
All right, Diane, so Article 31 on COVID, a topic Diane never gets tired of writing about.
Only because the whole scenario makes me so angry.
Well, and, you know, it should, and that's the point, because it keeps coming back and coming back like a bad lunch, and yeah. Right now, as I understand it, Charlie Crist is saying, hey, if this new variant pops up in Florida, and I'm the governor, I'm going to force mandates and masks and lockdowns and all sorts of crap.
He's not going to be governor, so we don't have to worry about it.
he wouldn't be the governor of a cardboard box. The way no, he's going at it. But there's reasons why these new booster shots and all this stuff is such a load of garbage, and that's what you dug into, Diane. So let's have it. October's booster, an anything but surprise.
And let's start by saying it's hard to believe I'm writing another COVID-19 article, my 31st to be exact. But when China's nasty little gift to the world is now being used by the Democrats to try and influence yet another election's outcome, I feel that I must again speak up. So let's start by saying that it's a can of alphabet soup gone bad that's heading America's way, with the letter B floating to the top of the CDC's media bowl, now all melding together to comprise the letter C, which in Democrat speak means that COVID season will again soon be here. And this is no matter that COVID cases, like the autumn leaves, are falling to record low numbers. And even triple vaxxed, double boosted, but twice infected Joe Biden recently told us that the COVID pandemic is over, as in the two dark and dank pandemic winters should now be one for the history books. And know as fact that COVID is no longer pandemic, but endemic in nature. So it's time we move on to more important yet sadly related things, like exactly how will the Democrats use COVID as the means by which to hopefully stop the Republican red wave. And the answer is really quite simple, and we're seeing it now with the first October surprise, again being courtesy of China's nasty little gift to the world. If the Democrats can't stop their political downfall, as their platform is but a continuation of the economic disasters we're currently experiencing, coupled with their approved killing of the unborn, they're hoping that by screaming, COVID is back, stay home, will be enough to scare many away from both early in-person voting and voting on Election Day, in hope that more fraud prone mail-in ballots are cast. And don't be surprised if over the next week we start seeing pockets of new COVID cases popping up in Democrat-controlled cities and states, no matter that those states also saw case numbers falling. Simply, the Democrat hierarchy, along with their CDC and media cohorts, thinks that their newest COVID scare tactics will be enough to allow them to hold on to power. Craig, how wrong these Democrats are.
Well, isn't all of this, I mean, it keeps coming around and coming around and coming around again. Isn't all of this really starting to wear people out? I mean, when you look across the board, when you talk to people and you ask them where COVID falls on their list of things they're worried about or you know, voting on, aren't people kind of getting weary of this?
Well, let's start by saying first, we, the people, are so tired of being told to put into our bodies rush-to-market vaccines and boosters not really proven to be good for us. And we're especially tired of the Democrats and the CDC in their politically motivated push for more mail-in balloting, again sounding the COVID alarm. Now they're saying that almost one in three new COVID cases have been courtesy of the newest B variant viruses. We also, as if on cue, now see both the CDC and key Democrats announcing an updated bivalent booster that should, note, they did not say would, but should, be just as effective in preventing serious disease as were the previous's vaxes and boosters. I didn't know the previous vaxes and boosters were all that effective.
I didn't
Simply,
either.
They were not. In fact, this year, more jabbed and boosted folks came down with COVID in higher numbers than did we, the unvaxxed and unboosted. And not only did they come down with COVID, but many had serious side effects that will remain with them possibly for life or could actually lead to their early death, courtesy of the vaccine and or the booster, wreaking havoc on their immune system more so than from COVID itself. Now, how is this possible? Even when one's immune system appears to be compromised or overloaded, which now seems to be the case for some, they're still being told they need yet another booster shot within a relatively short period of time to help in keeping COVID in check. And as the midterm election draws near, we now all are being urged to get yet another rush to market bivalent booster, a booster that has both a component of the original COVID-19 virus strain, which the CDC says will provide broad-based protection against COVID, plus a component of the Omicron's newest variant, which they believe will provide protection against said variant. But really, Craig, the CDC has no way of knowing ahead of time exactly when and which specific Omicron variant or subvariant will next surface, especially when there are at least six new B variants surfacing in different parts of the world.
So as you look at these new variants, you know, the Bs, the Cs, the AEIOUs, whatever, EIEIOs, whatever these variants are we familiar with these? I mean, are these close cousins to the variants we've seen before or not?
Well, they are. you know, these new variants, while similar in nature, are at the same time actually quite different, not only in the level of viral load they carry, but in both the intensity and duration of disease they cause. And with each variant deriving from slightly different branches of the so-called Omicron family tree, common sense should tell you that while many of the newest B variant strains do show many, but of course not all, of the same Omicron past viral mutations, logic should then dictate that there are now simply too many variations for the newest broad-based vaccines and or boosters to handle effectively. Okay, I just had a pop out here, folks.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we must be having a little power surge here
in South Florida.
Okay, let's get back to where we were. Okay, but the question that really should be asked is, why are the vaccines and their corresponding boosters' effectiveness waning? Why are the vaxxed and boosted still coming down with COVID, while others of us seemingly remain impervious to the virus? The answer most likely is that with all the vaccines currently in use, coupled with the need for booster shot after booster shot, they have weakened and in some cases have seriously damaged or even destroyed some folks' immune systems. And this is especially true when said shots are given too close together, as they lower one's all-important T-cell count, the very cells that are needed to help fight off infection. And while one's immune system might still continue to see and then even recognize COVID-19 as an invader, as the vaccines and boosters have already added COVID to the body's what's called memory bank, the fact that the immune system is overloaded does not allow it to fight back quickly enough the next time one is exposed to or comes down with COVID. Simply, one's immune system can no longer react properly against the invader, nor can it stop transmission. And also something forgotten, something key to the entirety of the COVID scenario, is the fact that immunity from any given disease often follows a single natural infection. Immunity garnered from vaccines usually, but not always, only occurs after several doses have been given. This means that those who did not get the vax and boosters were more likely, I should say, the ones who did get the vax and boosters were more likely than the ones glitches here with the screen. Let me just start that sentence again. This means that those who did get the vax and boosters were more likely the ones spreading COVID during the pandemic than we who got neither, as those jabbed had not built up enough immunity to prevent the virus from being transmitted to others. And on the flip side, we whose immune system was strong enough on their own to fight off COVID-19 has afforded us stronger and more lasting natural immunity than those vaxxed and boosted. But how exactly is one's immune system compromised in regards to the seemingly unending series of COVID booster shots? First, while the booster shots might result in a bit of an increase in antibody levels, said new levels only offer a partial defense against the virus, no matter its variants. And why, Craig? Because one's immune system actually requires a given amount of time, way more than just a mere few weeks or months, to process not only the original information it received, but also the additional information in the full vaccination series.
So, it seems to me that what we have here is science versus politics. Because
absolutely,
the science says your body, and anybody's body, needs time to process. That's a great word to use in this situation. Needs time to process the different antibodies so that immunity builds up. But the political end of this from the liberal side of the aisle is, don't give the body time, just jab, 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 jab. Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, we'll get to that point, but hold on first. If one's immune system does need processing time to work effectively against any given pathogen, why do the Democrats keep pushing the narrative that one needs booster shot after booster shot in order to reach the state of immunity where COVID is kept in check? The very state of immunity that we, the unvaxxed and unboosted, now seem to have reached on our own. And here's where politics comes in, folks, because the answer is quite simple. Control via scare tactics that at times do turn into actual mandates. And we are seeing this now in regards to the newest bivalent boosters being shoved down our throats. Never mind that what's in play here is what's referred to as a convergent evolution, meaning when different viral lineages dominating the medical discourse, which in turn overwhelms one immune system with information overload. And with time having allowed the COVID virus to adapt well to human transmission, it allows whatever variant now making the rounds to have what's called high fitness, as in the virus becoming easier to transmit, which in turn helps spread the virus amongst those whose immune system is overwhelmed by too many shots and boosters that have not been given the time needed to properly work. And as with all things we put into our bodies, overdosing on anything, even hope for preventative measures, is far worse to one's health than the disease one is trying hard not to get. And one just needs to ask CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, who on October 22nd tested positive for COVID-19, a mere month after receiving the newest Novavax bivalent booster, a booster designed to protect against the original COVID-19 strain, as well as the BA.4 and the BA.5 variants now believed to be in play here in our country. And it was also just 2 days after the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, voted to recommend that the CDC add this vaccine to their schedule of childhood vaccinations, even while it is still undergoing testing. That's very serious, folks, because undergoing testing means, we're not 100% sure yet. So now we can add CDC Director Walensky to the latest list of current high-profile government officials. Officials including Joe Biden and his nursemaid wife, Jill, along with the infamous Dr. Anthony Fauci, who have tested positive for and had symptoms of COVID-19, even though, Craig, they were all fully vaxxed, boosted, and boosted over and over again.
Yeah, she's not rowing that boat by herself, is she?
No, she isn't.
You know, it seems to me that the liberals are really kind of preying on the doubts and fears of people who don't do any research.
Right. No, that's true. But the saddest part of all of this is that the uninformed and misinformed masses buy into what the Democrats and CDC folks are trying to sell, no matter that science itself shows that some of the newest, supposedly soon to be here, B variants, actually appear to be impervious to the lab-created antibodies, which are a main component of the Novavax booster shots now being offered to the public. And this is no matter that the CDC knows well that last month's results were released from a preliminary research study done at Sheba Hospital near Tel Aviv, Israel, showing that the fourth COVID booster shot does not appear to produce enough antibodies to actually prevent infection from the newest Omicron variants. So while we, who did our research on how true vaccines are created and brought to market along with the number of clinical trials and the time needed for them to be proven both effective and safe, wisely refused the jab when it first came out, as well as the follow-up series of boosters, and will continue to do so. And while some of us still might come down with COVID, you know, there's always the outside chance of that. The fact is that over these past 2 years, our immune systems have had time to build up the needed protective antibodies to the point where even if we caught COVID, we'd most likely be either asymptomatic or have a much milder case. But the bottom line, no matter what the White House, the Democrats, the CDC, or the media say, is that COVID indeed has morphed into a pandemic of the vaxxed and boosted. Folks who not only seem to be experiencing repeated cases of the disease, excuse me, but who also seem to be experiencing more serious symptoms and complications than we, the unvaxxed and unboosted. We, who did not and will not buy into the vaccine hype, especially the October's not unexpected booster surprise, we overwhelmingly remain COVID-free years into a pandemic that, as per Biden, no longer is. Case closed.
Yeah, they can't make up their minds whether this pandemic is over or whether it's getting worse. You know, it all depends on where we are, I guess, in the election cycle is what it is. Now, absolutely. At the bottom of your op-ed, you've got a footnote there so that people know what to be looking for as far as the new variants and what they're called. There's the BQ1, BQ1. I don't know what these are.
There are six of them, folks.
I know, it's nuts.
Six of them. And I've also included in this article a chart about certain diseases that we routinely get vaccinated for and how long it took them to bring it to market and the clinical trials. This nonsense with the COVID vaccine was out too fast. A lot of the people who got shots and died, they died from the vaccines, whether, you know, the media wants to admit that or not. You right. don't take a vaccine that hasn't been tested and retested and tested. Look how long it took the polio vaccine to reach the public.
Right.
How long it took the diphtheria, the tetanus, the this, the that. I mean, it's ridiculous. And yet we're supposed to line up and get the jab? No. Let me tell you something. My husband worked in the doctor's office with COVID patients on a daily basis. He was the only one who refused the vax and the boosters. The doctors themselves got COVID, and so did the workers, the nurses and techs. He did not.
Well, see, there you go. Now, I want to bring up something else when it comes to all this booster and rebooster and re-rebooster stuff and all this nonsense of these vaccines. You know, for the last couple of years, so many people in this country went absolutely nuts. They went out of their minds, and they were disinfecting everything. I mean, they were stocking up on disinfectant wipes and disinfectant soaps and the hand sanitizers, and they, you know, they were doing all this stuff. Well, you know, unless you come into contact with other germs on a regular basis, your body is going to lose any immunity it had to those other things.
Exactly.
And now, you know, it's all about booster, booster, booster for COVID, COVID, COVID. And with cold and flu season coming upon everybody in this country, I'm betting there's going to be a lot more people susceptible to the common cold, to the common flu, that have ever been before. And it's because they disinfected and sanitized the snot out of everything.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I went into Walgreens to pick up something about a week and a half ago. And as soon as I walked through the door, I was assaulted, basically. Come and get your free flu shot. We're giving out free flu shots today. Did you have your COVID shots? I looked at the lady and I said, I have not had a COVID shot. I have not had a booster shot. I have not had a flu shot. I do not wear a mask. I go where I want. And no, thank you very much. I do not want your free flu shot. Well, she looked like she was just going to drop to the floor.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I mean,
I do not like COVID booster shots.
No. Or vaccines. I mean, yeah, you tell people in certain areas that, you know, in certain professions that, you know, I haven't been vaxxed. I haven't been boosted. Leave me alone. I had COVID. I did. I had COVID.
And you have natural immunities now, which are better than the shot.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I had the COVID and I was at the clinic, they said, well, you know, would you like to get the vaccine? I'm like, no, why should I? I said, I've got COVID now. My immunity is going to be better than yours. And the nurse looked at me and goes, you're right.
But can you imagine if you had put that shot into your body while COVID was active in your body?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio. But that just didn't make any sense to me at all. I'm sitting there. I've got the COVID. Why would I want a shot of COVID?
Right. Yeah. And let me tell you something, guys. When I put these medical facts in here, they are checked by medical people. I'm not just pulling things out, you know, out of the blue. Oh, she's making this up about T cells. No, I have people checking to make sure I'm saying things correctly. These are the things the CDC has not told you about. Have you heard them say anything about T cells since COVID started?
No.
T cells are key to our immune systems. That I have great immunity. I had a blood test. I had great immunity. And a simple blood test can basically tell you how your immune system is functioning. I haven't had a cold, flu, sore throat, ear infection, anything you can think of since 2004. What does that tell you? I have a good immune system. I don't need the shots and the boosters. And I don't do what Craig was talking about. I don't bactericide everything that surrounds me.
Oh, and, you know, because you do that, you wipe out any of the germs that you would normally come in contact with, germs that if you come into contact with them on a regular basis, your body builds up its own natural immunity to whatever the germ is trying to promote.
Right. Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that somehow I might come down with COVID. I mean, things happen all the time. But I would almost guarantee that if I were to come down with COVID, I'd either be asymptomatic or an extremely mild case. It just makes common sense. All you have to use is common sense. If you've been out in public, if you're lucky enough to live in the free state of Florida where we weren't under all these mandates, and you went and lived your life unvaxxed and unboosted, and you're still not sick, that should tell people something.
Yeah, I mean, and I live in cattle country up in north central Nebraska, where we stand a better chance of coming down with the mad cow than we do with the COVID.
Yeah.
You know? Folks, you got to read this, you got to grab it, and you got to share it. It's October's Booster and Anything But Surprise. And you can find this two places. You can go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can find the link. You can get into the op-ed, read it, and share it. Because they're going to put a big push on this between now and the end of the year to get more vaxes and more boosters.
Oh, yes, they are.
And here's your helpful hint, folks. Knowledge is the natural enemy of being gullible.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of knowledge will keep gullibility down to a bare minimum.
Right.
So read it, October's Booster and Anything But Surprise by Diane Sorey in the patriotfactor.blogspot.com. All right, so we made it to the top of the hour. That means we got to take a top of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs in, and when we come back, the most serious part of tonight's show. San Fran super poopers and drag queens in Ecuador. Stay where you are. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday, or not Friday, it's Tuesday night edition of the show. I'm looking forward to Friday already. I just am. But hey, if you miss any part of tonight's Tuesday show, then what you do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you automatically are one of the pod people.
Yep.
All right, so a couple of things caught my attention, and I thought they needed the special treatment, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yes.
I promised folks I was going to go on a full-blown snark attack, and so buckle up, me hearties. Here we go. San Fran super poopers and drag queens in Ecuador. $1.7 million. California Assemblyman Matt Haney says he now considers the price of it inexplicable, and Haney went on to say, when Rec and Park first told us the number, it sounded shockingly high to me. He was talking about the planned public toilet, a single toilet in the No Valley San Francisco town square, where apparently, in lieu of having a loo being a British word for toilet, but actually derived from the French phrase garde-loo, which means watch out for the water, locals have been crapping and peeing in the streets for years. The new single toilet is set to set back local taxpayers a whopping $1.7 million. Holy crap. And it isn't even scheduled to be completed until 2025. Haney said, and I quote, "I'm glad that No Valley will at some point get a bathroom, but it shouldn't cost this much, and it shouldn't take this long, and I'm angry about it. It's not something I want to celebrate right now," unquote. What Haney isn't saying is that when it was first proposed at the price point that it is now, and the completion date as it's set now, he went along with the plan. No questions asked. After all, it wasn't his money. He was flushing down the House of Office. That's a 17th century term for an outhouse. It was somebody else's money. Now, it's an election year, Diane, and even liberals who crap and pee in the streets of San Francisco, while not feeling the cramps of constipation, are feeling the cramps of inflation, and they're now questioning how the local establishment is handling their money. San Fran's Park and Recs Department claims that the price tag of $1.7 million is because of onerous demands and unpredictable costs levied by PG&E.
Well, Craig, what this really boils down to, it's bureaucratic overspending. Remember that thing, the millions of dollars for a hammer or something that the government wanted to spend? Well, this is akin to that, but I love the excuses they give.
Oh, they give some good ones. A spokesperson, pronouns unknown, for the San Fran Freak Show Department of Poo and Pee said, "It's also important to note that public projects and their overall cost estimates don't just reflect the price of erecting structures. They include the costs of planning, drawing, permits, reviews, public outreach, and construction management," end quote. Excuse me, what? Planning, drawing, permits, reviews, public outreach, and construction management? We're still talking about a one-hole toilet here, right? Mm-hmm. Here's how the planning should have gone. Are people crapping in the streets? Yes. Do we want people crapping in the streets? Nope. Let's build a toilet. Okay, we have a plan. That's all it takes. Okay. Drawing. Now, I figure any average third grader with a crayon, he, she, or it hasn't eaten, can draw a picture of a crapper in a shed. There's no reason to commission a pot-smoking descendant of Da Vinci who's been living rent-free in an artist colony under a bridge in a van down by the river to render a piece of art suitable for hanging in the San Francisco Museum of Art and Snobbery at the cost of a new condo overlooking the bridge by the river where he used to park the van. Permits? Apparently the city has to go to the city to buy the permission of the city to do a project the city already voted on by the city. Makes perfect sense to me. And reviews? Well, what in the name of shit on a stick are they reviewing? It's a freaking toilet, for the love of God. Well, I mean, does it meet the architectural aesthetics of the town square? Who the hell cares? Even if there's a three-block-long line of drug-addicted homeless lunatics waiting for a chance to sit on the new throne, everybody else is too busy looking down so as not to step on used hypodermic needles to even notice the town square's architecture. Public outreach. Homeless louts and insane drug addicts are dropping trow and making street pies wherever and whenever they feel the urge. Is that who they intend to reach out to? Exactly how much value do these liberal knotheads place on the opinions of people who engage in public defecation and don't use toilet paper? And Diane, that leaves construction management, and I submit that the newest hire in the plumbing department of a Home Depot should be able to manage a suitable outcome for this project at $15 an hour over a period of about a week. And if he gets the job done, give the guy a bonus by allowing him to be the first royal flush.
Well, it's very interesting that suddenly, while all this was going on and all the brouhaha, suddenly California's wonderful governor, you know, the one who thinks even you can abort a baby after it's born, you know, that governor. Well, he came up with some quite little interesting tidbits, didn't he?
Well, he crawled out from under a rock. And he said that if San Francisco couldn't figure out how to build a one-hole outhouse for under $1.7 million, the state would pull the funding. Now, since when did Gavin Newsom start giving a crap about a crap depository? Since it became a desperation situation to try and fool people into thinking the party of tax and spend was actually watching out for the people's tax dollars, I suppose. Up to the moment the story went public regarding a $1.7 million single-stall toilet in a neighborhood where the average house cost $1.8 million, Newsom didn't give a crap. Yep, you heard that right. The average house in Novalee, California, costs $1.8 million. Now, that means that for the measly extra 100,000 clams, the cost of a week's supply of Nancy Pelosi's favorite ice cream, you could get three bedrooms, a living area, a dining area, a kitchen, a carport, and not one but two rooms where you could sit and contemplate the abject meaninglessness of living in a third world country masquerading as a West Coast state. Diane, there is no reason on God's green earth, or for that matter, on the poo-infested streets of San Francisco, that building a single toilet in a town square should cost a staggering $1.7 million or take north of 3 years to complete. But I put it to you that that's just a microcosm example of how government operates and spends tax dollars.
Well, the spending of dollars for ridiculous things that nobody needs isn't just, you know, the privy of the states. Isn't our federal government also guilty of it?
Oh boy, are they ever. Look, I know in the grand scheme of things, a $20,000 expenditure by the federal government of money they've stolen from hardworking Americans like the Home Depot plumbing department guy building a toilet in San Francisco isn't even a fraction of a drop in the bucket. But have you heard about the latest $20,000 of your tax money is being spent by the federal government? The liberals in charge have decided that a fine way to spend $20,000 is to send drag queens to Ecuador to put on a show. Apparently, Ecuador is suffering terribly from a lack of diversity and a dearth of drag queens. And as we seem to have more drag queens than we need in any 1 or 2 week time span, thanks to the recruiting efforts of our public schools, we're sending some of our excess Adam's apple packing bumpers and grinders to them. That's right, the Biden State Department, via the U.S. Embassy and Consulate in Ecuador, has ponied up $20,600 of your taxpayer dollars to support the Centro Ecuadorino Norte Americano in putting on drag queen shows to promote diversity and inclusion in the region. The project runs through August 31st, 2023, and includes three workshops, 12 drag theater performances, and a 2-minute documentary. That's 1 minute per ball. Diane, that's nuts. And if the dude's dress is short enough, you'll see both of them.
Well, you know, I guess when we have a president and a federal government that seems to have solved all the problems here at home, all the problems all over the world, I guess they just look at this as throwaway money. Too bad it's ours.
Yeah, really. Look, China and Taiwan, the Middle East, Russia and Ukraine, North Korea, our border crisis, snootiness in France, Boris Johnson's bad hair days, and Sweden's unmitigated theft of Italy's intellectual and cultural property, otherwise known as meatball diplomacy. all fixed, solved, done, and done, so that we can now turn our attention to the situation that has the entire world on the brink of all-out lingerie Armageddon, not enough drag queens in Ecuador. Wait, what? Since when has one of our foreign policy goals been sending bearded men dressed as female hookers and strippers to South American nations to expand and strengthen our relationships around the world? And how exactly will sending drag queens to Ecuador accomplish that? We signed a treaty of peace with Ecuador in 1839 and opened full diplomatic relations with them in 1848. Our relationship with Ecuador has been great for better than 180 years. As far as I can tell, they've never done anything bad to us. They've been more than friendly, and they already have a rich culture. And to thank them for being such good and strong friends, we're sending them drag queens? Seriously? We want them to think that our primary national interest is to have hairy men dress up as women to lip-sync Judy Garland songs and read stories to kids? We didn't send them J. Edgar Hoover in 1945, so why are we sending them drag queens now? I mean, what's really to be gained by sending to Ecuador a dude with a 5 o'clock shadow dressed as Cher, wearing a loincloth, high heels, and a bra while singing Half-Breed? In the past, we've spent our taxpayer dollars in Ecuador for somewhat reasonable things. In 2016, we gave them $50,000 to promote the College Horizons program, which taught English as a second language. And in 2015, we gave them $234,000 to build a new auditorium. Come to think of it, after learning English as a second language, the Ecuadorians can now understand what our drag queens are saying while they prance about on the stage in that new auditorium. But we're talking about Ecuador here, a country that is 95% Catholic. Why on earth would they need drag queens when they probably have all the debauchery they can handle with that many priests running amok? Please send your letters of complaint regarding that last crack to I Don't Give a Shit, P.O. Box number 2, Nuevo Valley, California, 94114, as in a few years they're going to need some toilet paper for that new palace of poo. Paper cuts where they least want them is just the risk San Fran's super poopers will have to take.
Well, Craig, you know what's the most ludicrous of all this?
Wait a minute. Let me take a guess. The most ludicrous of all of this is the final photo that I have in the commentary?
No. It is a funny photo, and people can see it when they go on to read the article. There are literally thousands of homeless people, drug addicts, surrounding that area in question. And they're building one toilet.
At a cost of $1.7 million, yeah. Only $100,000 shy of what it would cost to build a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house.
Exactly. But let's take all the realities of it out just for a minute. One toilet for thousands of people who do their business in the street. Do you think they're going to wait online all day to go to the bathroom? They're going to
No.
go exactly where they're standing.
Yeah, let me take a shot at that. No?
I mean, this is so ridiculous. Whoever brought this up as a project should immediately be hauled off to a padded room.
They should send them to Ecuador.
Ecuador's got enough problems now. If we're sending them drag queens, they need idiots on top of it.
Well, now you're being redundant. You know, look, I don't know. I have not seen the plan for the $1.7 million outhouse, that they are trying to build. Gavin Newsom says, oh, no, that's too much. But he didn't come out and say that when they first proposed it. Oh, no. He waited till right before the election to make it seem like he cares about other people's money.
Well, I just thought of something with this building of the toilet, Craig.
Oh, yeah?
You know, after you go to the bathroom, you're supposed to wash your hands. Otherwise, you can spread nasties around. Nowhere do they even mention, will there be a sink to go along with the toilet?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen the plants. I thought about that, and I went looking for the plants. No, there's no mention of it.
Maybe they give you hand sanitizer.
Well, I mean, we're talking about drug addicts. We're talking about people that probably have a hobby of eating Tide Pods. Do you really want to give them hand sanitizer?
I'm saying all this facetiously to show the stupidity in this whole idea. The only thing I'm serious about is whoever proposed this plan needs to be put in a padded room because it's absolutely insanity.
Well, you got this California assemblyman, this Matt Haney, who now says the price of it's inexplicable. He said when Park and Rec first told us the number, it sounded shockingly high to me. Well, he didn't say anything a year ago when it was first proposed. He waited till now. He's just like Gavin Newsom.
He's probably up for re-election, and it's not sitting well with the public.
Not sitting well?
Yes.
Yeah, good, good. There's hope for you yet, Diane. Now, I put a photo in here of Matt Haney. I helped it out. It's his campaign photo. I helped it out a little bit. But you have to go to the blog, thenationalpatriot.com, to get this particular article, this particular commentary, San Fran Super Poopers and Drag Queens in Ecuador. You can find it at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, get the link, read the article, laugh, and share the fun. All right? You're right. This whole thing, I mean, the hoops they're jumping through to build this toilet are ridiculous. They have to have a permit. The city has to have a permit from the city to do something the city already voted on and said do? Really?
In the middle of a town square, you want to have a toilet. That just shows why we don't even call it California anymore. We call it La La Fornia because these people are out of their frickin' minds.
It's San Francisco. Just be glad they actually plan to put walls on the thing.
Well, maybe there'll be see-through walls.
You know, glass walls.
Yeah, they'll find a reason. Oh, no, you can't insult the people sitting on the throne. I don't know. They are, Craig, they are just so stupid out there. There's no other way to say it. They are absolutely stupid people.
Well, but like you said, it's not limited to local or state governments, right?
Right.
The stupidity goes all the way to the State Department right now. $20,000, like I said, not a huge thing. Okay. You know, when you look at some of the stuff the government wastes money on, $20,000 isn't very much, but it's still $20,000. It doesn't really belong to them. It belongs to the taxpayers. And they're using it to send drag queens to Ecuador.
That is, if there's anything more stupid than the toilet, that's it.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me go back to this part of the commentary. The project runs through August 31st of next year. So it's a year-long project, okay? Yeah. Three workshops in the course of a year, 12 drag theater performances, that's one per month, and a two-minute documentary film. A two-minute documentary? That's not a documentary. That's a commercial.
It's probably how to put on your makeup to pretend you're a woman.
If you've seen, look, go look at some of the photos I loaded in here. If you've seen some of the makeup on these people, it takes longer than 2 minutes. It probably takes 2 days. and a couple of rollers and a Wagner power painter and a scaffold to put on some of this makeup and hair. I mean, a 2-minute documentary film?
Yeah, that's a commercial. Yeah, it is.
Well, I mean, what the hell are they doing? You know, and why? Why? Ecuador didn't ask for this. This is something we're gifting them.
Oh, God. Well, they can return their gift to sender, right?
I mean,
re-gift it. They'll re-gift it.
Well, who are they? Who are they going to give it to? I mean, who do they hate? They're going to hate us when they get this.
Well, I don't know. Do they have any problems with their neighbors or something?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's South America. Come on, it's somebody's going to be a problem down there.
That's true.
You know, but I mean, Ecuador's been a very good country to the U.S.
Yes.
We've been on very friendly relations with them for 180 years.
But look who the president is. Kind of that says it all.
Yeah, it kind of does. What my question, what are the people of Ecuador going to think when we send them drag queens for an entire year to do 3 workshops, 12 performances, and a 2-minute documentary? What are they going to think of us?
I don't know. I'd like to know the congressperson who came up with this, because they need to join the California people who came up with the toilet in a padded room.
For all we know, it is the California members of Congress that came up with this. For all we know, it could be Nancy Pelosi.
Could be.
You know?
Or it could be the puppet master.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Discount the puppet master.
No, it could be Obama said, "Hey, do this. Do this. Yeah. We'll send the drag queens to Ecuador. They'll love it."
Yeah.
They're not going to love it.
This is what our country has become, folks. That's why you need to vote straight down the Republican line. Seriously, because the only way we're going to stop this nonsense, the only way we're going to stop the whole entire woke movement, is to take back the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of stuff has got to quit. Now, there will always be wasteful spending, don't get me wrong.
Right, right.
And Republicans have been just as bad when it comes to wasteful spending over the years, the decades, as Democrats.
But not like this.
Not like this.
Asinine projects like this.
This kind of stuff's got to stop. Yes. I mean, somebody's got to look at this and go, you know, for $1.7 million in No Valley Town Square in California, how many porta potties could you put up for a year for $1.7 million? I'm guessing a whole lot of them.
Well, they're not talking, you know, portables. They're talking about this toilet
I'm talking about portables. I mean, look, you've got your choice. You can spend $1.7 million. You can build a one-hole outhouse, or you can put up 100 porta-potties.
Craig, I got a better idea. Take that money and get the damn addicts off the streets.
Well, that would be the sensible thing to do.
True.
You know, I mean, but it's amazing. You know, when you look at the situation out there, this is what they're worried about.
Yep.
They're now concerned about the cost of a toilet. They've got hypodermic needles all over the streets, tent cities set up all the way around the you know, city square. They've got homeless, insane people crapping and peeing everywhere.
Right.
Harassing people, assaulting people, crime is out of control, and I think the $1.7 million might be a little bit much. Oh, really? How much you want to bet they knock it down to $1.2 million and then try to convince people, look, we saved $500,000?
Oh, of course. That's a given. That's a given. But again, the person who proposed this, the person who rammed it through their local government, that person seriously needs a padded room.
They do. 100%. And for that cost, you can put a toilet in that too.
That's true.
Folks, you want to go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Grab the link to her article and share it everywhere. October's booster and anything but surprise. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com. Grab the link. My San Fran super poopers and drag queens in Ecuador, and share that everywhere you can. We're going to keep it. Do we have anything updates on Israel in the last 30 seconds here?
Not that's coming through now. It's okay. Still projected to win.
We'll bring you up to date on that on Friday's show. And don't forget, next Tuesday, a week from tonight, it's the election, and Diane and I will be covering that live from Right Side Patriots.
Yes.
With that, Diane, we've plumb run out of time. It's time for us to go.
Okay. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.